In my checkered working life, I've belonged to several unions, but the only time I ever got in the middle of a strike, I wasn't in any union. It was during college. I was working as a teacher's aide in a special school, the Living Studies Center. The center, housed in a hastily renovated factory, was an experimental school for all the kids no other school wanted. Kids like Ricky, 10 years old, who zoomed around the center, arms flung out like wings, until he banged into a partition and dropped. Before we could catch him, though, he'd be up and running toward another wall. Or Walt, the fat kid who ran around breathless behind Ricky, screaming, "Yay, Superman!" Or Jake, a 14-year-old who was already 6 feet tall, with a dark mustache, who came to school with a pack of Luckies rolled up in his T-shirt sleeve, and his breath smelling of malt liquor. Or his girlfriend, Vanessa, 13, who had already had 2 abortions. Some of the kids were on medication, some had been to reform school or were headed there. Most of them had been abused by somebody they trusted and were angry, frustrated, hyperactive, and always on the verge of tantrums. They were also funny, affectionate, and starved for attention. My job was to tutor these kids in math, assist in the woodshop, and teach them to sing a song with a guitar. I was paid by the hour, no benefits. But a few weeks into the semester, contract talks stalemated between the teachers' union and the State Board of Education, and the union voted to strike. Whether a particular school would or would not remain open depended on how many teachers and teachers' aides honored the strike. Our teaching staff was split 50-50 right down the middle. Now, since we were a special school, an obscure law applied in our case. Because of the occasional need to physically restrain students, we were required to have on duty at all times a certain number of male staff. I was one of 2 male aides. The other, my college roommate, declared without hesitation that he would support the strike. It came down to this. If I honored the strike, the school would have to close. If I crossed the picket line, the school could remain open. For 2 days before the strike deadline, teachers on both sides of the issue lobbied me. Whatever happened to solidarity, they asked. What about my responsibility for the kids, they asked. Where was my loyalty? Didn't I want teachers to get a fair shake? John, the teacher who supervised me, told me only to follow my conscience. The strike was set for Monday morning, and Friday afternoon, the principal, my boss, urged me to help her keep the school open. It was an emotional time. Teachers who normally laughed and joshed together weren't speaking. Others were now shouting at each other, even in front of the kids. It was time to choose a side. As the kids shuffled out to their buses, I sought out John, my supervisor. "I'm not coming to school Monday," I told him. "Call me when it's over." The strike lasted several weeks. In the end, the teachers got most of what they wanted. The Living Studies Center opened again. But the atmosphere of camaraderie, the sense of shared mission, that was gone for good. I wish in hindsight I could say for sure I did the right thing. I'm sure I did the expedient thing. Crossing a picket line would have been risky. I could have done it, if only I'd been sure it was absolutely the right thing to do. But I wasn't, so I took the easy way out. I didn't picket, I just didn't go to work. One day I did walk by the school, curious to see how things were going. There was Jake, leaning against the old factory wall, swigging from a quart of beer. "What are you doing here?" I asked him. He was a little embarrassed. "I don't know, man," he said, looking at me. "I'm supposed to be in school. Where else am I going to go?"